But the challenges are huge because the former states of Dongle Upper Nile have been really the most devastated states as a result of the years of conflict and insecurity. So devastation to the health centres, health facilities. People have moved, constantly moving and are moving, including healthcare workers. Mm-hmm. Road infrastructure is very difficult. So it's very difficult to deliver supplies, and it's very difficult for healthcare workers to get to where they need to get to deliver these services. It's a big challenge.
And yes, of course, the area as well is very big, these two states.
Yeah? Yes, very big, covering a population of over 3 million and very vast and sparse and, you know.
Yes, so when you were heading this program of 3 months, when you first arrived there, what did you see health-wise? Like, what was the situation?
The situation there is those states have the lowest what we call healthcare utilization rates in all of South Sudan. So, for example, the immunization rates there were less than 6%. So that means less than 1 in 10 children are being immunized. Women are not accessing skilled birth attendants. The lowest opportunity, I heard from the previous conversation that you were having about the treatment of diarrhea. Mm-hmm. Children are not being able to access treatment for diarrhea because of the distance or, you know, the inability to access quality primary healthcare services. So there's an issue in terms of access, and there's an issue in terms of availability of care. Mm-hmm. So it's a double whammy.
Yes. And 3 months, I mean, this program ran for 3 months. What were you able to achieve within these 3 months?
So within this program began for 3 months, in particular, this particular, with a particular support that we received, but we have managed to keep it going. So I must tell you that. But during the period of 3 months, what we call it the 3 month challenge, is that we were asked to do it at very short notice. Mm-hmm. Literally, at the end of June, we were approached and formally approached in July. And from 1st of July to end of September, we had to take on this 3 month challenge. Mm-hmm. So basically, working with partners, NGO partners and government authorities such as county health departments, etc., to try to maintain healthcare in 212 health facilities. So during that time, we managed to treat with children with diarrhea, pneumonia, etc., 230,000 children under five. We managed to vaccinate 9,000 children with vaccine-preventable diseases such as diphtheria, measles, tetanus. We managed to provide 14,000 children with vitamin A supplementation, which is so important for their survival and development. Mm-hmm. And ensure 11,000 pregnant women attended antenatal care and were seen by a midwife to make sure that their care was progressing well. So these are the kinds of things that we managed to do during that, what we call our three-month challenge.
Yes, and given all the challenges you just mentioned earlier, how was this possible that you were able to achieve all this in these 3 months?
Join hands, working together in partnership. So working with civil society organizations, both local, national, international, very much working with local health authorities, health officials and other local health authorities, elders, chiefs, really joining hands and working together. So orienting people about what was happening, the change that was happening, why we were taking over, and trying to get things going as quickly as possible, trying to get the supplies out there, trying to, you know, push the funding out there so that frontline workers were paid incentives, people were able to do their jobs and deliver services. The other thing that we I think another way we managed to achieve this is through what we call outreach. So given the difficulty in populations' access to health facilities and the few and scarce health facilities, mm-hmm. what we tried to do was ask healthcare workers and provide them with the support they needed to leave the health center and go to communities to provide a basic package of services.
Yes. And within this 3 month challenge, working with very vulnerable people in these two particular states, as you carry out these services, what stood out for you? I mean, what are those memories that you stood out for you during these 3 months?
What stood out for me is the infrastructure has really been affected. Either it's not there. Sometimes a health facility will be, you know, a simple structure under a tree. Or if it's there, it's been affected, it's been vandalized. Repairs and investments are needed in health facilities, especially in this area. Running water, electricity, the basics. But there needs to be a permanent structure of providing reasonable, good working conditions for healthcare workers and patients that they serve to receive quality healthcare services. So I think that's something that stood out the most was that.
Yes, and how can UNICEF be part of a solution ensuring that the people in Upper Nile and Jungle have access to these crucial services?
So that is one of the reasons why I'm here. It's to call for, there really does need to be continued call for investments. I think everybody needs to rally together, whether it be the community, the church, anybody, you know, community elders, donors, the government of South Sudan. We all need to come together to really ensure continued investment. This cannot just be a 3-month challenge. It has to be a multi-year challenge and investment for the women and children.
And that's what I was coming up to. After the end of this 3 months challenge, what next? Are you just going to leave these people that you've been serving there, or you're taking another 3 months challenge, or just what next after this?
Well, the 3 month challenge ended in end of September, and we're very pleased to announce that we managed to mobilize an additional 4 months of funding, which is now taking us to the end of January. And we're very hopeful that continued investment is coming, and we're really working very hard towards that. So we're mobilizing funding to carry on for at least a couple of years, but that's what we're really calling for, is continued investment in to serve this very vulnerable part of South Sudan.
Yes, and as this program has ended, I do believe that, see, the 3 months ended, I do believe that there's a gap behind now. Is there any organization, any help? What is happening in this gap now that you left after the 3 months challenge?
So as I said, we raise money for another 4 months, and then we're trying to raise.
Is it running now?
It's running now. Oh, yes, great. Services are continuing to run.
Okay.
And everybody's drawing in their belts. All our partners are trying to do our best with the very scarce resources available to try to keep services running there.
Yes, and in terms of working in this conflict, situation, I do believe make it even very, very difficult for you to carry out your services there. As the peace process is being implemented now, do you think it will make it even more better and easier?
Definitely. For example, we have what we call cold chain equipment out there. In 2017, about 12% of all the new equipment we installed was vandalized. In 2018, less than 2%. So there is and with the signing of the peace agreement last year, definitely there's evidence of increased stability and security. And so this is why it is so important for the investments to happen now.
Yes, and in terms of the diseases, the sicknesses that people really suffer there from, what are these?
The most common are what we call infectious diseases like pneumonia, diarrhea, fever, malaria. Critical. That's one of the biggest burdens of disease. Those are the most critical diseases that are occurring. Cholera is also prone in that area along the River Nile. So this is something that we really, really, really have to watch out for. But the biggest thing we have to do is prevent these diseases from happening in the first place. Mm-hmm. They're preventable diseases. It's about everybody washing their hands, having access to quality care, keeping well nourished. That will prevent many, many of the diseases which are affecting the population.
Yes, and in terms, you mentioned earlier, as children and pregnant mothers also suffers, and of course, when it comes to malaria, this mosquito nets and the rest, have you been able to provide that for them?
Yes. There are mass campaigns ongoing, provided by other organizations, but what we try to do is, in the routine, when women come to the health facilities or during our outreach, especially pregnant women are under fire, we ensure each one gets a net. And the main thing is education, because it's all very well to give a net, but then it's the use of the net, ensuring that the child actually sleeps under that net that night. And we really work with partners to really ensure that education is provided.
Yes, Penelope, just before you go, what could you like to tell us are your final remarks as UNICEF, working there for 3 months, serving this population and going forward? What will be your last message or final remarks?
My final remark is, a time for action is now. The time for investment is now. These services are critical, life-saving, essential, but they're also a right. They're an entitlement. So let's all come together to make sure sure that these services continue. And thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's good to have you on the Mirai Breakfast. I do appreciate your time.